Okay, good morning. Thank you for joining. Today's daf is daf vav, and we were on daf hey amid beis. We're dealing with one of the things that you can do on Chol HaMoed is that you're allowed to do tzarchei rabim. The community can take care of its needs. So we saw we could fix the water in the street. We could clean out the wells. The community is allowed to take care of its needs on Chol HaMoed. One of the examples of one of the needs of the community is to mark the spots where there's tumah. We have people like Roger, a Kohen. He might be carrying his truma around. Even if he's not carrying his truma, he wants to eat his truma when he gets home. He doesn't want to walk over a spot where there's a person buried there, because if he walks over that spot, he becomes tameh. Now he can't eat his truma. So we saw that that's one of the needs, is to pour the lime, pour the sid, to mark, okay, there's a dead body buried here. So the Gemara said that this law, quotes a braisa, as we saw this yesterday, this law doesn't apply to, say, if you have a little bone the size of a barley seed from a dead body. You don't have to mark that spot, because a little bone does not create tumas ohel, does not create a tumah by virtue of being over it. It would create a tumah of maga, of touching it. But if it's buried in the ground, you're not touching it, it's in the ground. And if you're standing over it, so it doesn't create a tumah, the tumah doesn't rise. So the Gemara said, again in this braisa, that in places where there's a safik tumah, you have to mark it so that people know who are kohanim or carrying tumah not to walk there. And the braisa gave an example of safik tumah, a beis hapras, a field where a dead body's been scattered around. So Gemara says, one second, what makes something a beis hapras? What makes something a beis hapras? It was a dead body buried in the field, and then somebody went and plowed. And because he plowed, so the knife, you know, dug deep and pulverized the body and scattered the pieces all around. So if that's what makes it into a beis hapras, then you don't have a problem of tumas ohel. Because we know that you can walk through a beis hapras, either if you saw that other people had already walked through it with sada nidash, or through an examination process where you blow. You kneel down, you blow the dirt. See, there's no bone piece. Take a step and blow the next few inches. Take another step. So, one second, if you say that there's a problem of tumas ohel, how does that help you? Maybe deep underneath the surface, there's a dead body piece. It's a piece of a dead body, and the tumah's rising. Apparently, in a beis hapras, because it's plowed through, there is no tumas ohel. There's a problem. Maybe you'll touch a piece of a dead body. There's tumas maga, tumah from touch, but not tumas ohel. So then, if there's no tumas ohel, why do you have to mark the beis hapras? I thought you said that we don't mark the little bone pieces because there's no tumas ohel there. So the Gemara answered, there are different types of batei pras. There are three different beis hapras. There's a beis hapras, the classical one, you know, where the dead body pieces were strewn about because they plowed over the field. Another type of beis hapras. Nothing was plowed. There was a body here, and we just lost track of it. We knew there was a grave here, but the tombstone was removed. We lost track, so we don't know what's what. There you have tumas ohel. And a third type of a beis hapras is, as we saw yesterday, what's called a stei bochin. What's a stei bochin? The Gemara says stei bochin is the field where they do the transfer. Let's say they're bringing a dead body from Bavel to Israel. So the people from Bavel, they'll bring it maybe to Tzipori, and then in Tzipori, the people from Tveria will take over, and they'll take it down to Tveria, to the cemetery. So in that field, where there's a transfer, there also, that's called a beis hapras. That's also a place where there's tumah. Why? Because over the travel, maybe the body parts became shaky. And now, when there's a transfer, each person's going to shift responsibility to the other one. So the people picking up are going to say, oh, the other guys are probably, they're going to bury whatever piece falls off. And the people who are delivering, they'll say, no, the new people are going to bury whatever piece falls off. So anyway, either way, you know, a piece might fall off. And mishum yush balim, people might despair. And therefore, there could be a tumah. Okay, so again, just to read that again, it's stei bochin, My stay bochin, this is on Hey Amid Beis. What is the stay bochin? Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, Mishmei de Ula Amar. That's the field in which the dead are, we take leave of the dead. One group transfers over to another group. The time of my, why is this field considered a place of Safik Tuma? Amar Avim Mishum Yush Bailam Naguba, because there's despair here. There's despair. Each group says, oh, the other group's going to take care of it. Ask the Gemara. Visade Shenechrash Ba Kever Lo Ba Yitziyun. Is it true that in terms of marking, when you have the base sapras of a field in which a grave was plowed over, that you don't need a mark, because as we've been saying, such a field, there's no tumas ohel. And if there's no tumas ohel, you don't need to mark things. There's no impurity through just being a, being on top of it. But Tanya, didn't learn a brisa. Matzah sada mitzuyenes. The brisa says if you find a field that is marked with lime, then you do a mativa, and you don't know what's going on here. You don't know if this is a field that was marked with lime and it was plowed over or it's not plowed over. So says the Braisa, Yesh Ba'ilanos, if you see trees in this field, then Biyadua Shenechosh Ba'kever, then you can be confident that it was plowed over. And if it was plowed over, then you can walk around. Remember, again, you know, with the examination system, but you can walk around. Ain't Ba'ilanos, if there are no trees and there is lime here to mark off this field, Biyadua Shiva Ba'kever, then you know that if grave was lost in the field and you can't walk around.
Do you have galaxies that they use this as a reason they can continue when they find some bone fragments?
When they find bone fragments, first of all, the question is it Jewish? Right? A lot of other people lived in Israel too. So that's one issue. And they try to remove the bones, rebury them somewhere else, and then they build. So says the Gemara, but if there are no trees, then you know that a grave was lost there. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyesham Zaken Otalmud. Even if there are trees, maybe it was not plowed, and maybe there's a grave there, unless we have a Torah scholar telling us it was plowed over. The Fishen Hakol Bakiyin Bedaver. Not everybody's an expert about what happened with the field. So what do you see here? You have a field that was marked. And we don't know whether it was plowed or not. It says if there are trees, it was plowed. If there are no trees, it wasn't plowed. It's just that a body was lost in there. According to Yehuda, even if there are trees, it may not have been plowed. So I understand, if you have a place that's marked with trees, we said that according to the Tanna Kamma, that means it's plowed. But why are you marking it? If it's plowed, why do you mark it? You should only be marking those places where there is a fear of Tumas Oel. If it was plowed over, there's no fear of Tumas Oel anymore. You don't have any body parts big enough to create the impurity of that is transferred by just being over it. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa answered, Kitanya hi, that Braisa is Besadesh Ibad Bakever. That Braisa is talking about a field where a grave was lost in it. So really, there was a grave here, but we lost track of the grave. So then we marked the field with the white line. So the Kohanim, as they come by, stay away from this field. People carrying Truma, stay away from the field. And then, after Avabak Kever, Tzianua, that's when they marked it. And now later, the question is, if maybe after it was already marked, maybe it was plowed over. That's what the Braisa says. According to the Tanna Kamma, Yesh Ba'ilados, if there are trees, and we know that the trees came after the marking, then we know it was Nechash Ba'kever, we know that it was plowed over, and therefore through the examination you could walk through it. Ein Ba'ilados, according to the Tanna Kamma, if there are no trees, then it just stays in the status of what it had originally. It was a field where a grave was lost in it. Kohanim can't walk in it. Asks the Gemara on the Tanna Kamma. Tanna Kamma says if there are trees in the field that was marked, you can walk around because it was plowed over, and you can walk around through the examination. You know, blow away some of the dirt, see that there are no bone pieces, take a step, and blow away the next piece of dirt, then take the next step. Asks the Gemara, Valechus, why aren't we worried? Dilma Ilanos Migavoy, maybe these trees are on the inside. the kever mibarai, whereas the grave is on the outside. So okay, so there's lime, then trees. Maybe the grave is outside of that. As the market Amar Ula said, Boman al Gvulin, Ula said in his case, trees are standing on the border next to the Rosh Hashanah, the public domain. So Chanami here too, it's Boman al Gvulin. These trees are on the border. So therefore, there's not going to be a grave past the tree out in the street, because people don't bury in the street. That's a public area. Asks the Gemara. Now, starting Vavamad Aleph, Vidilma, maybe Toma Migavai. Maybe the impurity, the grave, is on the inside of this field. The Ilanus Mibarai, and the trees are on the outside. Okay, between the trees it was plowed, but maybe the Tumma is still over there. And so the Gemara, the case is Bimisubach. We're talking about where the trees are not just on the outside, the trees are all around. So if the trees are all around, wherever you have trees, that gets plowed over. We know that this area is plowed over, and there's no problem of Tumas oil over here. We buy the same alternatively, Hamar, and we're not going to say that there is a line of lime and then trees, and then past that there's a grave, because we've said, Eimar chi conceal mimakum tuma. When you have a dead body somewhere, you're not going to put the marker far from it, because if you put the marker far from it, Shalol hafsid es Eretz Yisrael, that ruins the land of Israel. If you put the marker far from where the dead body is, you are ruining the land of Israel. And there are going to be a lot of areas that people think they can't walk in. We don't want to do that. We want to minimize the areas that people are not going to walk in, so that we do not do. Rabbi Yudam Rabita says in the Braisa that even if you had a marked field with trees, still you can't walk around there, and you can't with the examination and assume that everything's been plowed over unless somebody tells you that that's the case. There has to be a sage or a student who can tell you that it was plowed over. Because not everybody is an expert about what happened in a field. You see from Rabbi Yehuda an important point. There's a young Torah scholar in the town. He needs to be involved. All the matters of the town are on him. Can't say, well, you know, I live here, but I don't know that the Eruv is kosher. I don't know if the Hashgacha in town is good. I don't know if the Mikvah is good. He's a young Torah scholar. He has a responsibility to make sure about all the matters of the town. He has to know what's Tameh, what's not Tameh. Was it plowed over? Was it not plowed over? Can Kohanim go there? Can they not go over there? Can people eat here? Can they not eat here? He has to know. That's his responsibility. The Torah scholar in the town, all the matters of the town are on him. What's that? He's got to know all the matters of the town. He has to know the Jewish matters. And he's got to be a person who knows what's the reality in his town. And you can ask him. And it can't be, he's okay, he's sitting, he's learning, he doesn't get involved, he doesn't know. This is part of his responsibility, that he has to be the address. People have to be able to ask him, and he has to give the answers. All right, talking about markings for Tuma. Amar Rav Yehuda said, Matzah Evan Mitzuyenes. Let's say you find a stone that is marked. In other words, the marking was to pour white lime on something. So if you found a stone that has white lime poured on it, tachteh atami, that means that underneath that stone there's a dead body or a piece of a dead body, a skull, a spine, underneath it is tami. Shtayim, if you found two stones with white lime on them, and between the two stones there's also lime, then beinayim tami, the area between them is also tami. If there's no white line between them, Beinayim Tahor, between them, it is Tahor. V'yaf Agav asks the Gemara, you can say that when you have two stones painted white, and between them nothing, the area between them is Tahor, Afagav Dileka Chorish, even if that area wasn't plowed over. V'atanya, but you don't learn a Braisa. Not seven achas mitzuyenas. The Braisa says if you find one stone painted white with the white line, tachta tummy, underneath it is tummy. Shtayim, if you found two stones painted white, yesh choresh beinayim, and the area between them is plowed, then beinayim tor, then the area between them is tor. But im lav, if the area between them is not plowed, the area between them is tummy, even though there's no white line in that area, because the fact that he marked this stone and this stone, everybody knows. They look at it, they see white. Okay, they know that this is an area of Tumah. I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa answered, when we said that if you had two stones and the area between them doesn't have white, the area between them is tar, even if it wasn't plowed, ach over here, it's kishasid shafuch al roshayim. When the white line is poured on the head of the stones, umeruda lekan lekan, and it also comes down a bit, not just from the head of the stone, but it comes down a little bit here and it comes down a little bit over there. So now, if there is an area that's plowed between them, so then b'neim tar, the area between them is tar. Because then we say the plowing may have peeled off some of the line, and that's why it fell between them and it was tar. But if there is no white line between them, and it wasn't plowed, and we have this little line that fell, we say, Sid Beni Beni Hu. The fact that there is lime down here means that they wanted to really pour the line between the two stones. The tummy and the area between the two stones is tummy. So again, if you have a stone that has white paint on it, and some of that white paint goes off of the stone down onto the floor, so it depends. If the area is plowed, we can say, oh, maybe this wasn't deliberate to put the paint there. It's the plowing that chipped off some paint and dropped it on the floor. But if it's not plowed, and it's not just the top of the stone that has the white paint, also going down onto the floor a little bit, there's paint. They wanted to pour the whole area. They're trying to mark the area. So that area is Tamei as well. Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi now talks about a field. Fields usually are set off with boundaries. So Rav Asi says, Meitzar Echad Metsuyan. Let's say only one side of the field, one boundary, has a line of white lime on it. So then, Hu Tamei. That means that underneath that row, it's Tamei. Kol Asada, the rest of the field is Tahor, is Tahor. Shnayim, if two lines, two boundaries, so Haim Tmeim, the two lines underneath them are Tameh, V'chalasada Kulotor, the rest of the field is Tar. Shloshef, there are three lines, the three boundaries, Haim Tmeim, underneath them are Tameh, V'chalasada Kulotor, the rest of the field is Tar. Arba, but if all four sides are covered with white line, Haim Tahorim, they are Tar, V'chalasada Kulotmeh, and the entirety of the field is Tameh, Tamar, as we've learned. We don't put the marking far from where the tuma is. Because we don't want to cause ruin to areas of Israel. Don't walk here, don't walk there. So therefore, since we don't put the markings far from the tuma, to have only one side with a line, and in that way delineate the entire field, that would mean that the line is far from where the tuma is, and we don't do that. We don't put the line far from where the tuma is. We put the line close to where the tuma is. So therefore, when you have four sides with white line, that's what makes the entire field a tuma field. What's that?
Ancient street signs.
Yeah, these were markers for the Kohanim.
Kohanim
know the code. All right, the Mishnah talks about how on Chol HaMoed we can do communal needs. One of the communal needs is the Yotzin Afal HaKlayim. Bezdin will send out emissaries to take care of the problem of Kilayim, of, let's say, two types that are growing together in a field. Wheat and barley growing together, wheat and spelt growing together. Says the Gemara, V'chiyah Kilayim V'chol HaShemoed Nafkina. For Kilayim, are we going out on Chol HaMoed? For a minute, but we learned you went out already the month before. I'll challenge you. It's the first Mishnah, Masech Tashkalim. Be'achal Ba'adim, the first day of Adar, Mashmina L'Shkalim. They announce, everybody get ready to start giving your half shekels, because we're going to use the new half shekels come next month, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ve'alak Kilayim. And they announce that all the farmers have to get rid of the Kilayim, of the cross plants growing together. Ve'chamishasar, on the 15th of Adar, Karnas and Megillah, B'Karachim, we read the Megillah and the walled cities that are surrounded with the wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The Yotz and the Kavitz and Sadrachim, and they go out to clean out the thorns from the roads, to clear the thorns. Ulasak and Archovus, and to fix the roads, the potholes that were formed during the winter. The Laman HaMikvos, and to check the Mikvos on the 15th of Adar. Vos and Kol Tzeicha Rab, they do all the needs of the community. Atzayin HaSakvaros, they mark where the graves are with the white lime. The Yotz and Alakilayim, and they go out to get the Kilayim out of the fields. So I understand. Are they going out to get the kalayim out of the fields on the 15th of Adar? Are they going out on the 16th of Nisan on Rosh on Chol Hamoed Pesach? So multiple answers. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yosef Chanina. Chaim once said, "Kam be'bachir, kam be'afil." It depends on the fields. Some fields grow soon. Some fields grow late. The things that are coming up early, that they go out for on the 15th of Adar. The things that are late, they're going to go out for on Chol Hamoed Pesach. The Chaim, the other one, answered, "Kam be'zrayim, kam be'yirakos." One is talking about seeds. I want to talk about vegetables. In regards to seeds, that will go out on the 15th of Adar. In regards to the vegetables, only planted when it's warmer, that they go out in Chol Hamoed Pesach. I'm Rav Asim Rav Yochanan. Rav Asim and Rav Yochanan. Lo Shanu, we didn't learn this law that they're only going to go out for Kalayim on the 15th of Adar, not before. Ela She'ein Nitsa Nikar. If the fruit is not yet, it's only when the fruit has not yet appeared. I will need sanikar, but if for whatever reason, one year, the things are blossoming early, then yotzen alein, right away you go out and you remove the kilayim. We don't want to leave the kilayim out in the fields. All right. Why is Chol Hamoed the time to send out the shluchim to inspect and to remove the kilayim? I'm Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Schar Pu'ula de Muzli Gabon, because this way, the labor will be cheap for us. We have to pay the people who go, Bezen has to pay. Chol Hamoed, they're not working, so therefore they'll take any job. They're not working anyway, so therefore the cost of the labor will be cheaper. I'm Rav Zvid V'tem Rav Misharshia, Rav Zvid said, some say it's Rav Misharshia said, Shema, you see from this lesson, Ki Yavinu Lu Schar, Mishum Salishka Yavinu Lu. We're paying them from the coins that are donated from the shekels. These are because if you're going to say that we send out the shluchim go and they tell the farmer, hey, you've got kalayim growing in your field. All right, you pay us now for our time. So then why do we care when to send them? So then my nafkalan minayu. Why would we care? Kol kama deboy litzim luhu. However much they're supposed to give, let them give them. But if we're so concerned, clearly, if we're concerned, must be because we're spending the money. So that's why we want to do it on Chol Hamoed to reduce the cost to the hekdesh.
But that's not really a communal work. It's work for the responsibility.
I guess it is a communal thing because the responsibility of keeping mitzvos is on the best and that the whole nation, they have to make sure that the nation as a whole is keeping the mitzvos. It's a communal responsibility. Okay, v'ad kama, how much is a mixture where you have too much of two types with each other that we have to now uproot things. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak answered, Kos Shaninu, it's what we learned in Mishnah is Kelai. Kol Sa, every Sa of grain, Shiesh Ba, Rova, that has a quarter of a Kav, namely a Lug of some other type. So it's 1/24. That would be a problem. So let's say you take, a saw of wheat, and in that saw of wheat you mixed in a log of barley, and you plant the barley with the wheat together, then you have a problem. That's the problem of kilayim. That's too much of the other, it's too much of the minority for it to be allowed.
It's because that seed might have been mixed in with the...
If two plants are growing together, then there's a problem.
But the farmers know that, but it's because the one who they put the seeds from might have like
them. No, maybe it's their own seeds, but if they have barley and they have wheat, if they mix it, and they say, oh, but most of it is wheat. Well, it depends how much is the most of it. If you have, 99% wheat and one little thing of barley growing, that doesn't create a problem. But if you have 1/24 of this field is barley, it's supposed to be a wheat field, now you have a problem.
I always thought they just checked the perimeter, never thought that they checked the interior.
You have to check, right? Now, said the Gemara, I'm Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Kos Shani Kol Sa Sheyesh Ba Rova Zera Min Acher. If in the saw there is a quarter of a kav of a different type, you might just reduce the amount of that different type. So let's say you had a log worth of barley in a wheat field, a saw of wheat. So pull out some of the barley. So you have less than a log worth of barley. Ask for Gemara of a time begin with an abraisite kinu the chamida tzakana. Shimafkir and kol asada kula. That if we find kilayim in a field, that we take away the whole field from the owner. So it's not just that we reduce the amount of barley, we just take away the whole thing. We make it all hefker. So it's my low kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan kodum takana, kan la'acha takana. It's not a contradiction. Initially, they weren't taking away the whole field. Later, they had to take away the whole field. The time is in a braisa. Bar Yishon originally, hayu okrin, umashlich lefne behemton. Initially, the shluchei bezni used to go to the fields. When they would find that in the wheat field there was barley growing, they'd uproot the barley. They put the barley in front of the animals. For you barley batim smei from shtei smachos. So the farmers were happy for two reasons. Acha shemenakshin lehem sedoseim. Number one, because the bezdin is doing the weeding for them. They're pulling out the stuff they don't need. V'acha shemashlichon zeh behemtum. And secondly, they're feeding their animals. So then it's kino, they made a takana. She okin mashlichon al drachim. They'll uproot the barley, but they'll throw it on the road, and people will step on it. No animal's going to benefit. Still are you smeichem? I know you smeichem. Still the balabatim were happy. Simcha gadola, big happiness. Shemen ashkan so they say. They say, oh, I have people weeding for me for free. So then it's kidding. They made a new tzakana. You mafkir and kolasada kula, that they would just take away the whole field. That's it. You allowed barley to grow in your wheat field. That's it. You lose the entire field. The entire field becomes hefker. All right, we learned in the first Mishnah that you're allowed on Cholamoy to water a field that's up on a mountain, a dry field, because that watering is necessary to prevent a major loss. The Gemara said there, you're not allowed to water a field in the valley, because the field in the valley is already okay with the rainwater, so now it's just to increase profits, ain't allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara also said, though, that according to Rabbi Meir, you are allowed to water a field in the valley. He disagreed with the Mishnah. He felt you could water a field in the valley. As long as it's not a major strain, you're just directing a spring, he thinks even gain is allowed. All right, now some more laws about watering fields on Chol HaMoed. Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov says, if you have a field in the valley, Moshchen es hamayim, you're allowed to drag the water, me'ilan le'ilan, from one tree to the next. Let's say in your field, you also have trees. So the trees, they need a lot of water. So if there's water around one tree, you can make a ditch in Chol HaMoed to bring the water from that tree to another tree. Because the trees in the valley field are like the fields up on the hill. In other words, the trees, they need a lot of water. If you don't water them, there's going to be a major loss. So you're allowed to do some effort to move water from one tree to the next. Ubilvad, as long as Shlo Yashkas Kalasada, but you can't water the entirety of the field, that you can't do, even according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because the trees don't need the whole field to be watered. Now, Zraim Shalosh Shasu, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says another law. Let's say you have seeds that you haven't been watering them regularly before Chol HaMoed. Zraim Shalosh Shasu Lifnei HaMoed, seeds that have not been watered regularly before Chol HaMoed. Well, Yashkim HaMoed, you should not water them on Chol HaMoed, because since you didn't regularly water them before Chol HaMoed, they're not going to be ruined if they don't get watered on Chol HaMoed. But seeds that were regularly watered before Chol HaMoed, they could get ruined if you wouldn't water them on Chol HaMoed. But Chacham disagree, and Matirin Bezeh Bezeh, and they allow to water a field, and they allow to water seeds that weren't watered before Chol HaMoed. They allow you to do that. They allow you also to water the entirety of the field. And they feel that even watering, which is for profit, is apparently allowed on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Yehuda said, let's say you had a field that was very muddy and very moist, and now it's dried up. Even though it's in the valley, you're allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed, because since it was very muddy and very moist, the plants there are used to a lot of moisture, and therefore to bring moisture to it on Chol HaMoed is to prevent a loss. Tanam Yochi also learned in a braisa this way, Kishamru, and the sages said, that also lashkos hamemoed. You're not allowed to water seeds on chalamoed. Amru ela bezraim shalosh shasu. That's only about the seeds that haven't been drinking thirstily before chalamoed. But the seeds that have been drinking before chalamoed, in other words, you've been watering them regularly before chalamoed, you're allowed to water them on chalamoed, because if you don't water them, there's going to be a loss. And if it was a field that was very muddy, and now it dried out, mutter, you're allowed to water it on chalamoed, so that there won't be a loss. So here we have what Rabbi Yehuda taught. That if you have a field that is muddy, even according to Blesman Yaakov, a muddy field that dries out on chalamoed, you can water it again. Bryce says another law. Ein mashkin sada garid. You cannot water a field that's very dry, the moed on chalamoed, because that doesn't require watering. The chacham matir b'zeh b'zeh. Chacham allow both. They allow you to water seeds that haven't been watered before chalamoed, and they allow you to water a sadeh garid, a field that is very dry. Amar Ravina, Ravina said, Shmami, no, we see from the Chachamim who allowed you to water a sadeh garid, a field that was dry, that high tarbitza, if you have a vegetable patch where they're growing vegetables, even though it'll be fine, even if you don't water it, Shavi the tarbitza, behold the mada, you're allowed to sprinkle water on it on chalamoed. Because sada garid mai taime. What's the reason why the chacham allow you to water a dry field? Because the watering, it's dry field anyways. What do you need to water it? It's all dry. The answer is the afla mashu lecharfa. Through this watering, things that would be slow to grow, grain that would only ripen slowly is now going to hurry and ripen quickly. So even though that's not a prevention of loss, it's just adding gain, that's allowed. So chanami, so in a vegetable patch as well, by sprinkling water over the vegetables, on chalamoid afla, that which should have been later, mashvi l'charf is going to come earlier, and that is allowed according to the chachamim. All right, now we're going to talk about sprinkling water on a garden. Tana rabbanan l'dina b'raisa. Marbitzin stay lavan. You're allowed to sprinkle water on a wheat field. On a wheat field, b'shvius, during Shemitah. So actually there are different opinions here, if that's the right girsa. Whether you should say you could water it during Shemitah, or maybe you should say that you can't water it during Shemitah. Different girsaos here. Avalo b'moed, but on chalamoed you can't sprinkle water over your wheat field. Ask the Gemara, v'atanya, but didn't we learn in a b'raisa? Marbitzin, you're allowed to sprinkle the water on the wheat field, bein b'moed, both on chalamoed and during Shemitah. Not like what you said, that you said you couldn't do it on chalamoed. Ravuna, Ravuna answered, Lokash, it's not a contradiction. The bracelet that said that you can't sprinkle it is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He says you're not allowed to water a field in the valley on chalamoed, right? He said, "Uvad shelo yashkes kol asada." You can't water the entirety of the field. How the brayse that allowed the watering of the stay lavan on chalamoed is the rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. They allow the watering, even though it's going to produce added profit. That's also okay. Just to finish, till the Mishnah Tanya, Idach looked at another brayse. Marbitzin stay lavan. Erev Shvius, we can sprinkle water around on a wheat field in year 6. Kadeshi Yetzu Yirakos B'Shvius, so that the vegetables grow out nicely during Shemitah. V'lo'od, not only that, Ela Shemar Bitzin Stei Lavan B'Shvius, you can sprinkle water on a wheat field during Shemitah. Kadeshi Yetzu Yirakos L'Motzoi Shvius, so that vegetables come out nicely after Shemitah.
Please. Today, but no, it's good. Be careful not to have like an automatic sprinkler system to water on Shabbos and
Yom Tov. Ah, very nice, very nice. So, What about automatic sprinkler systems? So, in terms of Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's fine. It's not a problem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because the Gemara says explicitly that they would open pipes on Friday and let the water keep flowing into Shabbos. So, on Shabbos, Hashem told us, this week's parasha, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Don't do work. I'm not doing work if my computer is what's triggering the system. I do the work when I program the computer. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's fine. What about during Shemitah? Shemitah, it's a question. Now, if the watering is to save the plants, as we saw, I can even water myself to save plants during Shemitah. That's the Mishnah. What about if I want to water not to save plants, to have things, more things grow? You know, I have in my front yard, I have a lemon tree, I have an esrog tree, I have a pomelo tree or a plum tree. So I want the water to come. So instead of having 100 plums, I'll have 200 plums. So I want to set it up for gain. It's not setting up for prevention of loss. I want to set up for gain, but I'm going to set it up before Shemitah. Program it before Shemitah, and then come Shemitah every day, the water will go on. So there's some opinions who think it's okay if you pre-programmed it. But there are opinions who think that Shemitah might be different than Shabbos. And the reason why is because in regards to Shemitah, there's a classical question. Is Shemitah that the person needs to rest or that the land needs to rest? If it's that the person needs to rest, I'm resting if I programmed it before Shemitah. But if the land should rest, the land is not resting. Land is getting watered, and the land is not just maintaining, it's growing lots. So there are poskim who argue that maybe there's both. The person has to rest. That's when the Torah says, Sadcha lo tizra, karmacha lo tizmor. You don't plant, you don't prune. But the land has to rest. That's the mitzvah saseh, v'shavsa ha'aret shabbas la'ashem. So if you say that the land has to rest, that's the mitzvah saseh, so then there would be room to say that you should not set up an automatic watering system for gain, for profit during Shemitah. To preserve the plants, to preserve the garden would be okay, but for gain, for revacha, that would not be okay. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll continue with the Mishnah.